tonight from the book of Luke. If you'll turn with us, Luke chapter number 20, I believe it is, chapter 21. And I came in this afternoon and I knew some of the deacon's wives were not up to no good today when I left church. I wasn't disappointed when I got back. You know, you got to watch deacon's wives. I always say we have good deacons, but I don't say a lot about the wives. I'm just kidding. I appreciate all the deacon's wives of our church and appreciate the church and watch all the good things y'all do for us. I don't deserve anything. And always, you know, it's easier to give than it is to take. Honestly, it is that way. I'd always rather be on the giving end. And I mean that sincerely. But I appreciate everything the church, anything. It doesn't have to be nothing big. Anything you ever do for us, there's a constant reminder to me that I don't deserve anything and I wouldn't have anything. And I mean that. Everything that I have, that we have, has been because of the Lord and God's people. And I wouldn't fleece the people of God for anything. I mean that. If I had to get a job to pastor this church, that's God's will for my life. That's what I'd do. It wouldn't bother me one bit. In fact, sometimes working just helps you a whole lot, doesn't it? Just getting out and working. But I appreciate this church. I love you. I appreciate you. I pray for you. I know you pray for us. And I think about a lot of times in life. I reckon we all can say this, but I just see a lot of things in my life that I want to improve on. And one day we get to heaven, God's going to fix everything, isn't he? And I just appreciate you and love you and thank you for every expression of your kindness toward us. And I want to preach tonight from Luke chapter 22, just a few moments, if you're able to stand with us. And I'm not going to read all of this text, verse 54 down to verse 59, is the denial of Peter. Three times he denies the Lord. And then notice verse number 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Behold, the cock crow, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Father, Lord, I do want to thank you tonight for everything that you've done in this service, Lord, for the good singing, the testimonies. Thank you for your presence tonight. I ask you now if you would to help us, Lord, in the reading of thy word. I pray that you'll give us liberty and help us these next few moments to be a blessing to the hearers. And may the will of God be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to say there's a lot to in the context of what we have talked about and what we have read tonight. When we think about this morning that is taking place here, it's still the early hours of the morning. It is still dark hours. And we think about all the activity that is taking place leading up to Peter's denial of Jesus. And I think about the blackness of this morning. It is now, as I said, early morning hours and in our text, and it is still dark outside. And in the blackness of this morning, what has happened is they have arrested Jesus. They have apprehended him and arrested him, and they have falsely accused him and assaulted him, even all in the dark. And you know, sin often is committed in the dark, isn't it? And so we think about the blackness of this morning, and then we think about the betrayal of this morning. When we think about this morning that is leading up to the denial of Peter here, we think about the betrayal, the betrayal of all the Jews, how that they betrayed Jesus, the Sanhedrin, and we think about the betrayal of Judas, and how that Judas came and he kissed Jesus, and he betrayed him. It was a kiss, a betrayal. And then I think about the betrayal of the just ones, those that had walked with Jesus for those 3.5 years, and how that even they, the Bible said, forsook the Lord, and everyone is scattered. This is a morning of blackness, and it is a morning of betrayal. Then we think about the bitterness of this morning and how that the trial of Jesus, that first trial that took place in the early morning hours, how that it was a bitter trial. And then we think about the truth about Judas. Can you imagine the shock that ran through the rest of the disciples as Judas betrays Jesus, and the truth about Judas was a bitter truth. And then I think about the tears of Peter, how that Peter goes out, and the Bible says that he wept bitterly. And so there's a lot of stuff happening on this morning when you think about the blackness and the betrayal and the bitterness of that morning. But I'm glad it doesn't end there. Amen. There is the blessedness of this morning here. What I mean by that, as dark as this hour may look and as bleak as it may be, thank God there is some good news in all of this sadness and this darkness. You say, what is that? Well, first of all, the sun is going to rise. Amen. And the scripture is going to be fulfilled. And the Savior is going to die for the sins of humanity. And thank God, victory is going to be won at Calvary. Amen. What I'm telling you tonight, as dark as the hour may be, God knows how to bring blessed things out of dark seasons. Amen. And so there is the blessedness of this morning. But when we come to our text here in verse number 60, I want you to think about something that may seem somewhat unusual, but it's just what the Lord laid upon my heart to preach tonight. I want you to think about the bird of this morning. Because Peter denies the Lord, and notice verse 60, and immediately while he yet spake, he was still speaking, the cock crew. The bird of this morning. I was thinking about this cock here. You know, people from Wisconsin probably don't know what that means. The word cock, it is known and described as a male bird, a rooster, you know. It's just an ordinary bird, isn't it? But here Peter is in all this blackness and all this betrayal and with everything that is going on and all the bitterness, Peter is going to deny the Lord. And as soon as he denies the Lord, the Bible said the cock crew. You know, I thought about this little phrase here, cocked and loaded. I'll let that sink in on you. You know where that phrase come from? It is I looked it up. I read that the other day. I thought about cocked and loaded. And it comes from it's a Western phrase that was used years ago. That's where it originated from. And it means to have the hammer to be pulled back and the weapon is ready to fire. It is cocked and loaded. Well, I thought about this cock here, and this cock was loaded. Amen. And so I'm going to preach on that subject a few minutes tonight on cocked and loaded. Amen. This might be called one cocky preacher. Amen. Because this rooster in this text, when you consider him, he is a representation tonight. Even though he is an animal, he is not an apostle by no means. But he has a message, amen. He's going to deliver the message to this man of God. And I got to thinking about this cock. He was so ready in this text that the Bible says in verse 60, and immediately while he yet spake, Peter didn't even get it out of his mouth. And the Bible says the cock crew, amen. I'll tell you something about this cock. He was ready. Amen. What I mean by that is that he was ready to deliver the message that had been put on his heart. And you know that's the way men of God are supposed to be. The Bible told us to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preachers are supposed to be ready. The Bible said in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I mean, just like this rooster was ready, this cock was ready, men of God must be ready. And the problem in Peter's life is that Peter was not ready, amen. But I'll tell you, this bird was ready, amen. And then this bird was right, amen. You see, a lot of times people wouldn't want to hear a cock crow. Think about that. If you've lived out on a farm or near a farm or anybody's had any chickens around you, roosters, that cock always crows at a time when you really don't want to hear it, amen. But I'll tell you, this cock crew at a time whenever Peter didn't want to hear it, but he was still right, amen. Peter was wrong, but the cock was right. He was cocked and loaded, my friend. And what happened was, it may not been an appropriate time for Peter, but this cock crew at the exact time that Jesus said that he would, amen.
You know what a preacher will do a lot of times? He'll bring the message unknowingly to himself. He'll bring a message that'll be just when you need it. It'll be just when it must be delivered. And if it is the word of God, thank God it is right. Amen. It may not always be appropriate to the ears of the hearers. They may not always want to listen to it. But a real man of God, if he's preaching the truth, then thank God he's right. Amen. People say, preacher, are you right? Well, if you're preaching from the Bible, it's right. This bird was real. This bird was right. And then I would say this bird was real. What I mean by that is that this is the only thing this cock knew how to do. He just knew how to crow. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, he didn't know all that was happening. He didn't know that was know all that was going on. But what he was doing is not what just what he did, but it is who he is. And can I tell you, that's the way it is with a preacher of man of God. He is, that's what he is. He is a preacher on Monday just like on Sunday, and the message does not change. And this bird here is going to deliver a message to Peter. It's going to be real because it's the only thing he knows to do, and he just knows to do that. Amen. You know, preachers that are God called, that's really what they know to do is preach. Amen. You preach when people are happy. You preach when they're mad. You preach when they shout, and you preach when they just stare at you. You preach when there's a house full, and you preach when there's a handful. It doesn't matter if you preach on a corner, preach in a jail, preach in a nursing home, or preach in a church house, or preach in a mission. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter about the place. It doesn't matter the size of the people. I'm talking about preaching is who we are. If we're men of God, hey, this rooster, the only thing he knew to do was to do what God had put in him. Amen. This bird was real. He was regular. I mean, think about this. This cock is going to say the same thing over and over. He does what roosters do. They crow, isn't that right? Now, if you got a rooster and it won't crow, you better shoot it and eat it. Amen. I don't eat it. Serve it to somebody else. But if you got a cock that won't crow, that's a strange cock. Can I get an amen right there? When you get a preacher that won't preach, there's something wrong. Because this cock always says the same thing. You're not going to get him to shut up. He's just going to keep on delivering. He's relentless. He's just going to keep on saying he's not going to quit until he is done. And I want to tell you tonight, that's the way it is with men of God. They're not going to quit. They're just going to keep on preaching. Amen. They're just going to be relentless. The word of God doesn't change. Times change. People change. Society changes. But the word of God does not change. People come by sometimes and they say, well, now, y'all's church is, y'all are more of a traditional church, aren't you? I say, no, we just do like the Bible says. We're not traditional. I don't like all that mess, don't you? I don't like that contemporary traditional. We're not putting that on our sign. We're traditional services. No, we just have church the way the Bible says to have church. It's more than traditions. It's Bible. Amen. We're not following the leadership of men. We're following the leadership of God. Can I get a witness on that? I'm telling you, preaching ought to not change. Even though the time and the seasons change, even though sometimes men fall off into sin like Peter has here, the word of God will never change. And just like this rooster delivered a message that did not change, he was relentless. He was going to crow no matter what the consequences was, no matter who didn't want to hear it. And can I tell you, that's the way men of God are. We preach this book whether it's received or whether it's rejected. Amen. And I want to say, this bird was remembered, wasn't he? Because he's recorded in the scriptures. You say, Brother Gradley, he's just a rooster. He's just a bird. I know that. And men are just men at their best. God puts a call on a preacher's life. He cocks him and loads him. Amen. He puts a burden down in his heart, a Bible in his hand. He gets him ready to preach. And a man of God that is called to preach is always ready to preach. Always got some kind of sermon ready to preach. Amen. If he's really and truly called of God, he's always cocked and loaded, ready to fire. But I tell you what, sometimes in life, things may get hard. And sometimes people may not want to hear. But if a preacher's got a real message, then thank God it's burning on the inside. And it must be delivered. Amen. I want to say something about
the message of this bird tonight that was cocked and loaded. It affected this apostle's life. Preaching makes a difference in our life. And this cock, when it crowed, but crew in the scripture here. When this cock crowed, it had an effect on Peter. Preaching ought to have an effect on all of us tonight. Thank God for singing. Thank God for testifying. Thank God for praying. But I'm going to tell you tonight, none of us would make it without preaching. I look back through life. Paul said that in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 3, in due times God hath manifested his word through preaching. The last admonition that Paul gave was what I quoted earlier, what he gave to Timothy. The final chapter of Paul's writings in his life was to preach the word. Amen. Preaching is important. I want to say tonight, preaching will save sinners. Amen. Preaching points them to the foot of the cross. Preaching keeps a church in the right place. Preaching tonight, it helps us to grow. It keeps our homes where it needs to be. And preaching has an effect on our life many times, even when we don't know that. This preaching, this little sermon by this strange preacher in verse 60, had a great effect on Peter's life. I want to say number one tonight, it affected his hearing. Look at verse 61. The Bible says, or verse number 60, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. I'm going to tell you tonight, this cock, whenever Peter was preaching, or when Peter was speaking, when he was betraying Jesus, the cock crew. Peter heard the word. He heard the message. You say, that's just a rooster crowing. Maybe it was to you if you would have been there. But Peter heard the message in a timely manner. He heard this message in a very truthful moment. There's no way the cock knew what was going on. It is just a dumb animal. It did not know what was taking place. It did not have the wisdom to know, the mind to know. You know what that cock was? It was the same thing the preacher is when he gets up on Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. He was a tool in God's hand to deliver the message to Peter. Amen. I want to say it was a very timely matter. It was a very truthful moment and it was a very tragic moment in Peter's life. But thank God he still heard a message. Even in a time when Peter was at his worst, God didn't send an apostle. They was all scattered like Peter was. But God sent a rooster. I'm going to tell you, God will always have a preacher. Amen. Even if he's got to raise up a cock to do it. He's always going to be someone or something that's going to have a message that'll get a hold of somebody's heart. And Peter heard the message. Amen. Amen. Peter, in this text, was like a lot of us sitting in church sometimes. The preacher gets up and preaches. The Word of God will help everybody. But while the Word of God is going out, there's always somebody or somebodies that sermon gets real personal to. And they hear it a little different than what you and I hear it. You ever sit in church, maybe happening right now, and the preacher's preaching, you think, that's a strange sermon. He's preaching on cocked and loaded. He's preaching on a rooster tonight. Couldn't Brother Gravely find anything better in the Bible to preach on than a rooster? Not tonight. You say, well, that's a strange message. Well, there's some strange birds sitting here tonight. And God wants to get a hold of somebody. And while I've sat in church and I'd hear a good sermon, I'd be going out the door and somebody else would bump me and say, hey, boy, that message right there, man, that changed my life. And can I tell you, I went out and thought it was a good sermon. It was a great sermon, Brother Laddie, and it did help me. But I don't know that I personally classified that sermon as a life-changing sermon, even though it helped me and I needed it. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying they heard it a little bit different than what I heard it. Amen. I promise you, when this rooster crowed, it probably got on some people's nerves. When this rooster crowed, some people had already tuned it out. They'd already been used to it and heard it so many times, it didn't do anything for them.
But I'll tell you one thing, it did something for Peter. Peter heard it loud and clear. He heard it a little bit different. I thank God for the times that God raised the preacher up to bring a message by that I could hear loud and clear, and it changed the way I listened. Amen. It affected his hearing. Then it affected his hypocrisy. Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It was in that very moment when that cock brought that message. It rang out. It rang into Peter's ears that all of a sudden Peter not only heard it, but now Jesus heard it. I want to preach a message that Jesus hears. And Jesus heard the same message that Peter heard. And when the cock crew, Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. This message got heaven's attention. This message got this preacher's attention. It got the Lord's attention. Oh, when Jesus looked at Peter, it wasn't just a glance. It wasn't just any kind of look, but it was a direct look when he looked at Jesus. I think it'd be safe to say it was a disappointing look, even though the Lord knew. You know, sometimes your loved one can just look at you, and you can read their mind. You know from that look what that means. When your children are coming up, sometimes maybe they do something they're not supposed to do, and maybe you're in mixed company, maybe somebody's talking to you, and maybe those kids are taking advantage of the situation. You know what I'm talking about? Boy, sometimes you can just cut your eyes over and look at them, and every child that's ever had a whipping in life knows what that is. When that parent looks at them, amen, they don't say anything. Just look at them. Sometimes you can see disappointment in people's eyes by their look. Jesus turns and he looks at Peter. It affected his hypocrisy. This sermon revealed who Peter was. He was running around telling everybody, pointing out, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Even cursed to try to prove that he didn't know Jesus, but he's not going to wipe 3.5 years away. I'm telling you, he'd walk with Jesus. He'd follow Jesus. He'd picked up his habits. You can't walk with God, really walk with God, and the world not see it in you. Amen. And in this crucial hour, even though Peter is falling apart, he's still lingering close to Christ. He is still trying to follow somewhat behind, but the pressure's mounting and the trouble's coming in, and Peter's folding like a tent and saying, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. And then the cock crows, and all of a sudden Jesus looks at him. I don't know how far away he was, but with penetrating eyes the Lord looked at Peter. And that was a message. It's revealed to Peter. It was a divine look. He saw himself for who he really was. Because you remember what Peter told Jesus just prior to this? He said, I'm ready to go to prison and death. Peter was standing pretty tall right there, wasn't he? But when the cock crew, when the message was delivered, he got a hold of Peter. It showed Peter. You know, I don't like to see myself. I don't like to hear myself. You say, why is that? Because when you hear yourself, I mean, just something about hearing yourself, isn't there? Somebody plays a video and you're on it, I mean, you're like, turn that off. Y'all like that? I don't want to hear that. What is it? But you don't want to see yourself. It's never a pretty picture. And sometimes, isn't that what the Word of God and preaching does? It reveals who we really are. We all, if we're not careful, we want to hide behind some kind of a facade. We don't want people to know who we really are. And I'm not talking about covering up sin tonight. I'm just talking about everyday living. We know how much we fail God. We know that we're flesh. And we know that we come up short. But we don't want to air out everything. Amen. I think it was Jack Hyle said years ago. Said something. I'm trying to get the thought here. I want you to tell me who you are. I want you to be real. He said, but I don't want you to take your shoes off. Amen. Just to show me you got feet of clay. Amen. I'm telling you the truth of them texts is we all know we're flesh. And we all know that we're failures at the end of the day. But I don't want you to see every flaw and every failure that I've got. And I don't need to see every flaw and every failure that you got. I tell you, some things need to be kept between God. Some things need to be said in a silent place. But rest assured tonight, if we ever try to put the mask of religion on, preaching will surely take it off. Amen. That's what preaching does. It shows us. You ever been sitting in a service and you didn't, I'm not saying we thought we were doing good, but you didn't think you was doing as bad as you thought you was. And then you heard a sermon
And when that preacher delivered that message, the Word of God reveals it affects anything in our life that's not real, that's not right. The Word of God will flush it out, won't it? You know, I thought years ago that I wished I could get to the place where I could hear preaching and it not bother me no more. As a young Christian, that's what I thought. I thought, man, I want to go to church and sit there and not be bothered about every time the preacher gets up. He's hammering something in my life. Now, if I knew something was going on in your life, I'm not going to get up here and preach on it just because I know, because I deal with my own struggles. But I'm not going to not preach on it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to preach to you. I mean, before I did that, I would just try to talk to you personally and help you. But I wouldn't preach around you if I knew you. So we couldn't do that, amen? But the Word of God, it has a way of shining the light on things in our life, even when others don't even know. You could be doing something right now that nobody knows that but you and God. But I promise you this, if a man of God gets in touch with God, God's going to tell him to say something about it, amen? He's going to say something. Listen, you could go off in a dark corner and whisper to something to somebody in a whole other state and say, now don't you tell nobody, and say, don't be surprised if you don't go back to church on Sunday morning and the preacher's preaching on Calvary, and right in the middle of it all, he just busts it right down the middle. You say, what is that? It ain't what it is that. It's who is that? I'll tell you who it is. It ain't the preacher. It's the Holy Ghost bringing out what needs to be brought out in our life. Amen. A rooster crowing sent a message that revealed his hypocrisy, it affected his heart, but then it affected his head. Look at verse 61. The Bible says one of the greatest things about Peter here, he remembered the word of the Lord. It took the message of a rooster, cocked and loaded. As soon as that denial rode off his tongue, that rooster crowed, and guess what? The Lord looked at him, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You know what preaching will do? It'll bring things to remembrance. It stirs up our way of remembrance. That's what preaching is. You didn't come here tonight to hear something new or something improved or something you had never heard of before. You didn't come tonight to get some new doctrine. Oh no, what I'm preaching tonight you already know. But that's what preaching is, amen? It's reminding us, enlightening others that have never heard. But there is nothing new under the sun. The preaching of the Word of God is what it does. It reminds us. And can I tell you, we need to be reminded of sound doctrine. You think about this. You get out of church for a month or 2 months or 3 months or quit reading your Bible. You may even be in church, but quit reading your Bible. You know what happens to people? They start doing strange things. They start doing things that they said they'd never do. They start living ways they thought they'd never live. Why is that? I'll tell you why it is. They're getting away from sound doctrine. Amen. That's why they say things like, well, I used to think there was something wrong with that, but I really don't see it that way anymore. You know why they don't see it that way? Because it's the preaching of the Word of God that constantly reminds us of sound doctrine. Amen. You know, if I was to quit reading my Bible tonight, quit going to church, without a doubt, there'd be things from the past that I may start doing and say, you know, I really don't think there's nothing wrong with that no more. Sound doctrine. Being in a good church keeps you in the right place. Under the preaching of the Word of God, it affects our head in a practical way. As the Bible said, he remembered this rooster's cry, reminded him of what Jesus said, a very powerful way. It reminded him of the Word of the Lord. There's no power in me this morning or this evening, but the preaching of the Word of God. All I'm doing this evening is reminding you of the Word of the Lord. Amen? You didn't come to hear my thinking, my theology, or my ideas, or what I believe. Anything I might say to you tonight in my own self is not going to help you, but it's the Word of God that helps us. And sometimes I'm amazed how preachers can just get up and seemingly talk for an hour, never say nothing about the Bible. They can tell stories, and I'm not against stories. They can get everybody laughing. They can get everybody crying. They can get everybody stirred up emotionally, and I'm not against an illustration in its rightful place, but there's something wrong when a man reads a text, never goes back to it, and gives you 10 illustrations and calls that preaching. Amen.
Preaching is not just about experiences and emotions, and I'm not against any of that. Don't misunderstand me. I tell you what preaching is. It is heralding the word of God. It is telling what thus saith the Lord. I don't care if there's an outline or no outline. Amen. What we need is the Bible. Amen. And the Bible's always right. And the Bible always keeps us where we need to be at. Amen. It wasn't the crow of the rooster that was going to change Peter's life. But the crow of the rooster is what reminded Peter of what the Lord said. You know, when the preacher gets up to preach, he might sound like he's crowing a whole lot of times. But if you listen to what he's saying, he is saying the word of God. And it affected his head. That's why the devil wants to use the tool of distraction whenever it comes to church. He wants to get your mind on everything else. He wants to get you to thinking about, man, you got this going on this week and that going on this week. You got all this stuff you got to do to get ready for the week. He wants to get our minds on everything else but the Word of God. It affected his head. It affected his hypocrisy. And then finally, notice this, it affected his heart. The Bible said in verse number 62, and Peter went out and he wept bitterly. What he heard got down in his heart. It brought Peter back to the place that Peter needs to be brought back to. Peter leaves broken, bitter, not at God, but at himself. But he leaves believing. Now Peter knows that Jesus really does know everything about him. He knows his failures. The preaching of this rooster affected Peter's heart. Just a simple crow and a look from God got a hold of Peter in a way. It looked like Peter was not turning back. To deny Jesus, as I said this morning, would be the worst thing a Christian could ever do. Peter not only did it once, twice, but three times. But he didn't need an apostle. The Lord didn't need an angel. He used an ordinary rooster. Cocked and loaded that rooster. That rooster was sitting on ready the very second that Peter denied Jesus. And one crow got a hold of Peter's heart. You know, that's what happens. One sermon can change your life. It was one sermon that brought you down the aisle to the foot of the cross. It's one sermon that when you were at that crossroad of life, that God got a hold of. You know, that's why we should never give up on people. That's why when people, a few years ago, somebody came to this church and it was a couple and they were not married, and so they were visiting. They said, they discussed some things with me and my wife, and they said, we know we're not right with God. Can we come? I said, yes, you can come. You can't join the church, but I said, you can come. Everybody's welcome to come. Isn't that right? And I said, now you need to get these things right with God. You need to make these things right. But I said, we're so glad that you're going to come. And they came for a very long time. They never did get things right with God. Maybe they have by now. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. This is what I thought. Every service that they walked through them doors, there was a chance. There was hope that this might be the service they get right with God. You know, I'm not going to blow people out who just come at Easter. I'm not going to blow people out that just show up at Christmas time. Thank God they do come that one time, two times a year. Because that family member you got that won't never come to church, if they'll just come for Mama's Day and Papa's Day, I might say something about it when they're not here, but I ain't going to say nothing to them when they come. Because that's a chance. That's an opportunity that they might get right with God. I'll tell you tonight, I look back through your life. Can you remember times when God sent one sermon that got a hold of you, that spared you, that rescued you, that changed you, that pulled you out of the ditch you was in, pulled you out of the hole? Can you remember times when you came and you lost all hope? I remember one night going to church, and I was going to church, and I was driving down to the revival meeting. This was years ago, and we'd only been married a couple of years, and I'll tell you, I was somewhat low, and I remember going down the road there to the meeting and just to go listen to a preacher, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm not going to quit. I said, I got nothing to go back to, but I said, Lord, I just did the Lord lowest I'd ever been. I said, God, I don't know what to do. And I need some direction. I don't know what to do. And I said, I'm just overwhelmed with everything. And I can't make no decision right now. It looked like Brother Lighty everywhere I turned. It just seemed like it hit me in every direction at that moment. And I was doing everything I could just to keep my head above water. And I said, dear God, I don't know what else to do. I said, lo, that night, I never did this before. But I come in, I sit on the very last pew that night in that church. I just didn't really believe God was going to do anything. I remember the man of God, a praying man, he got up that night and he said, well, he said, I came to preach one sermon. He said, but while I was sitting over there, he said, God, give me a little thought. I jotted down on this napkin. He said, I'm going to preach tonight. And he preached from John chapter 14 and verse number 1. He preached on, let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. He said, somebody's in trouble tonight. He said, I'll tell you, God's going to help you. I'm telling you, he knows how to take one sermon and to put you on the right path and to help you in your times of trouble. Hallelujah. I'd rather be where God is. Brother, I'm telling you, listen, I don't want anything to do with dead religion. I don't want anything to do with just the mechanics of everything. But I'm telling you, if I can just hear a word from heaven, if I can just get a word from God, everything will be all right. Peter's life is falling apart, but there's good news. God's got a rooster, and he's cocked, and he's loaded, and he's going to deliver a message that's going to help Peter. Peter's going to go out, and he's going to weep bitterly. Sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to weep bitterly. I think sometimes God just wants to bring us to that point. If we can get broken, we can get help. I love that psalm. I think it's Psalms 51. It said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken and contrite spirit. Sometimes getting so low is not a bad thing. It's where you can find God when you get low. Kind of like this morning. Sometimes you got almost drowned so that you can reach out and get a hold of him. You know, tonight I would say that to anyone. That's what preaching will do. Even when we're in a bad situation, even if you're here tonight and you're not even in a, you might be like Peter, you might be falling apart. You say, preacher, I'm making a mess of my life. I don't know why I can't get off that today. I can't get off of it. But I know it ain't on accident. You might be able to say, I'm just making a mess of everything. Well, God sends you a message. Probably sent you two of them today. I thought about this when I got home. No matter how much you have messed up your life, no matter how many mistakes you've made, I said it this morning, but I thought about it this afternoon. It just takes one good decision to turn everything back in the right way. And I was thinking this afternoon, sitting there at the house, I thought, you know what? It's harder to keep making bad decisions. That's harder. It's a lot easier if you just say, you know, I stop right here. I've fouled enough of my life up right now. I'm just going to come to God. I won't be like Peter. I'm going to weep bitterly. And I'm just going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to turn it around. The Lord will help you do that. And he'll send a message. Oh, God knows how to send a message. That was a little, strange, simple sermon by a rooster. But you'll have to admit, it was loud and clear to Peter. It brought him back to what Jesus said. He may have never thought about it had he not heard that rooster crow. God knows how to get our attention, don't he? And you know, tonight, I don't think he always does that in fear and wrath. I think a lot of times it's in tender compassion and mercy that the Lord is saying, you don't have to go this way. You don't have to mess up. You don't have to do this no more. You can make things right. How many of y'all believe tonight that God is a merciful God? Don't you think tonight if anybody was to come in them doors and walk down them aisles and say, Lord, I want to get right with you. Don't you think the Lord would take them? I'm going to tell you, we'd take them, wouldn't we? Well, if we'd take them, where'd we learn to take them people? We learned it from the one that took us. I'm telling you tonight, listen, don't you let the devil tell you, well, you've just gone too far. No, you ain't gone too far. You can turn it around. If you just get broken, that's all it takes, getting broken. Saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, one time, I sat in the living room, and I needed a prayer answered that I had tried to fix it for myself, Brother Daniel. I tried to fix it for 2 years. I tried to fix that problem. I just couldn't. I was sitting in the living room. Never forget this. Nolita was gone, and I was sitting there by myself. And I just looked up the ceiling, and I said, Lord, I've tried to fix this problem myself, and it just gets worse. I said, Lord, would you please help me with this? Would you fix it? I can't. I cannot make this work out. But God, you can. God buried me record with that King James Bible in my hand right there. Amen. And it ain't always happened this way. It hasn't. But it did this day. I sat there probably 20, 30 more minutes. I got up out of my seat. I walked out of the living room, walked into my office, and the phone rang. And I picked it up. In 2 years, what I'd been trying to fix, he took care of it. In just one phone call, he took care of it. One phone call. He's so big, isn't he? And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't good enough, Brother David. It wasn't anything I'd done. I just cried out to him. I got to the end of my rope. That's what happened. I think that's where we have to get. That's where Peter got. He got to the end of his rope, and the Lord rescued him. If you can get to the end of your rope and say, I've done everything, I can't do anything, Lord, would you please help me with this? That's where he helps you. Is when you get to the end of that rope. Let's stand tonight.